Day two in the Sausage Factory, reviewing the FAA's process in certifying the Eclipse 500. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, we brought you the opening comments of members of the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee from the start of their hearing into alleged irregularities in the FAA's type certification of the Eclipse 500 very light jet. Today, we'll hear Transportation Department Inspector General Calvin Scovell read his prepared report and answer a few questions from committee members.
The subcommittee will come to order. The chair now recognizes our first witness, the Honorable Inspector General of the Department of Transportation. At this time, you're recognized, General Scovell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'd like to take about 10 minutes for my oral statement.
No problem.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Petri, and members of the subcommittee, we appreciate the opportunity to testify today regarding FAA certification of the Eclipse EA 500 very light jet. Over the past several years, multiple manufacturers have designed a new class of aircraft called very light jets, or VLJs. VLJs are small aircraft with advanced technologies that cost less than other business jets but operate at similar speed and altitude. In 2006, FAA certified the first VLJs, one of which was the Eclipse EA 500, a six-seat jet aircraft which featured advanced avionics and better fuel efficiency. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take a moment and establish from the outset what this case is about and what it isn't about. First, it isn't about an unsafe aircraft that must be grounded immediately. This case isn't about a certification process that is riddled with flaws and must be revamped from A to Z. My office has not examined the certification process at large. This case isn't about the long-standing practice of FAA to recognize alternative means of compliance and equivalent levels of safety, a practice that is generally sound and makes sense. And this case isn't about an FAA field office run amok. While their bedside manner in dealing with the manufacturer could have been better, local FAA officials acquitted themselves well and honorably in making difficult technical and safety-related decisions. What this case is about is a strikingly accommodative approach to an effort by a new, untested manufacturer using new technology and a new business model to put a high-speed, high-altitude jet in the hands of relatively inexperienced private pilots. This case is also about an intensely calendar-driven, not event-driven, effort to certify an aircraft by a date that was selected a year before. It is also about a certification process that has a long history of success involving FAA and the industry, but which, in this case, was removed from local officials and controlled, indeed driven, by officials in FAA headquarters. And finally, this case does raise questions about whether FAA focused exclusively on safety as its highest priority, as mandated by law. Let me now turn to the specifics of our investigation. In March 2007, we received FAA inspector complaints that the Eclipse jet was pushed through the certification process too quickly, a significant issue overshadowing FAA's certification of the EA 500. Is that with the inherent risks associated with a new aircraft, utilizing new technology produced by a new manufacturer and marketed with a new business model, FAA should reasonably have been expected to exercise heightened scrutiny in certifying this aircraft. In addition, because the EA 500 has advanced avionics and turbine engine technology typical of large transport aircraft, but also is light in weight like smaller private aircraft, it did not fit easily into FAA's existing certification framework. FAA chose to certify 500 and other VLJs using certification requirements for general aviation aircraft, rather than the more rigorous certification requirements for larger transport aircraft. However, in a post-design certification lessons learned internal review of the Eclipse project, included in our handout, FAA managers acknowledged at page 8, that the general aviation certification requirements were, quote, inadequate to address the advanced concepts introduced on this aircraft, end quote. In certifying the EA 500, FAA asserts that it met all pertinent certification regulations. However, the results of our investigation to date show a combination of actions and inactions on the part of FAA, indicating that it expedited the certification processes for the Eclipse EA 500. First, during the design certification of the EA 500, Eclipse applied for and FAA approved alternative means of compliance for the aircraft's avionics software and airspeed and altitude indicators. While FAA guidance concerning this process allows for deviation from normal accepted practices, we are concerned about the level of review that FAA conducted in certifying the software. For example, FAA did not require this software to be approved to the accepted industry standard before certification. Instead, FAA accepted an IOU from Eclipse, which stated that the aircraft would meet the accepted industry standard at a later date. However, when FAA issued the design certificate, Eclipse's software supplier had only completed 23 of the 65 required tests. The supplier subsequently completed all 65 tests by June 2007. However, EA 500 users continued to report problems with cockpit instrumentation as recently as May 2008. A June 5, 2008 incident involving the EA 500 heightened attention regarding the aircraft's design certification. The incident involved an EA 500 on approach to Chicago Midway Airport when it experienced throttle failure. After consulting the emergency procedures, the pilot shut down one of the engines. However, this action caused the second engine to roll back to idle power and be unresponsive to the throttle. The two pilots declared an emergency and were able to land the plane without injury to themselves or their two passengers. During its investigation into the incident, NTSB expressed concern about the reliability of an assembly that failed after accumulating only 238 hours and 192 cycles. NTSB also raised concerns that the problem could be due to flaws in the design logic for the software that controls the engines. As a result of this incident, FAA engineers re-examined the software that controls the engines and discovered software logic flaws that should have been resolved before certifying the design. At the end of June 2008, the local FAA certification manager sent a memorandum to the manufacturer requiring Eclipse to develop an approach to bring the aircraft design into certification compliance for that system. Eclipse is currently addressing FAA's requirement. Second, FAA awarded Eclipse a production certificate even though the agency knew of deficiencies in the company's supplier and quality control systems. To receive a production certificate, manufacturers are required to undergo FAA quality control reviews and an FAA production certification board review to determine if they have complied with all regulations. FAA's quality control reviews, which began in July 2006, identified numerous deficiencies, with 42 serious deficiencies identified as late as February 2007. The Production Certification Board completed its review on April 26, 2007, the same day the production certificate was granted, and identified two serious overarching deficiencies relating to Eclipse's supplier and quality control systems. Despite the impact these issues could have on the production process, FAA awarded the production certification to Eclipse with 13 known production problems. Further, even after granting the production certificate, FAA audits of Eclipse supplier controls found significant deficiencies. In 7 out of 7 Eclipse supplier audited, FAA investors identified serious nonconformities involving issues such as nonconforming parts, uncalibrated tools, and supplier personnel using outdated manufacturing specifications. At the largest user of the EA 500, for example, mechanics found problems with Eclipse supplier-manufactured parts on 26 of the 28 EA 500 aircraft operated by that company. Finally, results of our investigation indicate that FAA's desire to promote the use of VLJs may have contributed to its decision to accelerate the Eclipse certification process. A significant concern surrounding this issue, Mr. Chairman, is that FAA specifically designated the Eclipse VLJ as a priority project for certification. In its fiscal year 2006 performance plan, FAA's Aircraft Certification Service identified Eclipse as a priority, stating flatly that it would certify an Eclipse small jet by September 2006. Our handout includes a copy of the cover sheets of those performance plans. Although FAA met this deadline, the specific designation as a priority certification may have resulted in reduced vigilance on the agency's part during the aircraft's design and production certification processes. We identified four other FAA actions that raise concern regarding the agency's safety oversight focus in this matter. First, FAA granted Eclipse authority to certify its own aircraft for airworthiness far earlier than other manufacturers, specifically 4 years before Eclipse obtained a design certificate for its aircraft. However, it's not clear why FAA determined that Eclipse met the qualifications to perform its own inspections, since Eclipse was a new manufacturer with no history of manufacturing an aircraft or shepherding a design through the design certification process. In one instance, Eclipse presented an aircraft to FAA for airworthiness certification with approximately 20 airworthiness deficiencies, even though an FAA-approved company inspector had previously inspected the aircraft for airworthiness and found no nonconformities. Second, in response to a customer service complaint lodged by Eclipse, FAA granted single-pilot operation certification for the EA-500 despite FAA Flight Standardization Board concerns. Third, FAA replaced the inspection team overseeing Eclipse and restricted the new team's inspection activities. In a six-page letter of reprimand, FAA officials stated that the manager failed to meet expectations associated with meeting its customer service initiatives. And fourth, a former FAA engineer assigned to the Eclipse project took a position as director of certification for Eclipse immediately after leaving FAA without a cooling-off period. Mr. Chairman, at our recommendation, FAA established a special certification review team last month. The team completed its assessment last week and concluded that the design certification of the Eclipse was appropriate because it met FAA requirements for the focus areas reviewed. We received a copy of the team's report on Saturday and are reviewing its findings and recommendations. However, based on the interim results of our own investigation, in which we have been assisted by independent contract aviation safety experts, we recommend FAA take several immediate actions. Those include, one, verify that certification of the EA-500 for single pilot use was appropriate. Two, expedite its proposed rulemaking to clarify certification requirements for the expanding VLJ industry segment. And three, evaluate the propriety of granting new and experienced manufacturers authority to certify the airworthiness of their own aircraft prior to design certification. That concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman. I'd now be happy to answer any questions you or other members of the subcommittee may have.
We'll be back in a moment to hear some of those questions for Calvin Scovel, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. A moment ago, we heard Calvin Scovel, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation, Read his report on the FAA's handling of the type certification for the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet. The members of the House Aviation Subcommittee had questions. We'll hear a few from Subcommittee Chairman Jerry Costello of Illinois.
Another question concerning the IOUs, in other words, for the FAA to tell Eclipse that instead of meeting a particular standard or certification or satisfying a concern or a deficiency, that we can, you can just get back with us at a later date and tell us that this has been addressed. I'd like you to comment on the IOUs because, one, I know they have been used in the past. Is it commonplace in the certification program? And in this case, do you think it was appropriate? Hmm.
The requirement to meet FAA certification standards can be met flat out by an applicant. FAA also has authority under its regulations to grant a waiver from certain requirements if the applicant can make a showing that that requirement will not apply specifically to the aircraft held out for certification. An applicant can also request an equivalent level of safety finding, which is simply put an effort by an applicant to show FAA that it has another way to skin the cat. In other words, there may have been a generally prevalent method in the industry for applicants to satisfy specific technical requirements, but this particular applicant may have another way. In addition, a more informal practice has been the IOUs. It's not unusual for them to be granted. In our review here, both Boeing and Sino-Swearingen have been afforded IOUs, but customarily they are for non-safety related pieces of the airplane. In this case, regarding specifically the avionics software with new model aircraft that relies exclusively on the avionics for safe operation of the aircraft, it calls into question the practice of an IOU.
And do you also, does it disturb you, as I mentioned in my opening statement, the fact that the manufacturer, Eclipse in this case, was granted the authority to deliver 11 of the EA-500 to their customers before deficiencies were addressed and IOUs were given on those deficiencies, is that standard practice?
It's not standard practice. That's frankly alarming to me, sir. Particularly since it appears that FAA took efforts to limit the distribution of aircraft that may have been held subject to the IOU. That may have been a reasonable restriction at the time. However, it appears the company went beyond that.
And they, in fact, did not retain control over those 11 aircraft. They, in fact, delivered them to customers.
They were delivered, yes, sir.
With deficiencies remaining.
Yes.
You heard Chairman Overstar comment on the control of the aircraft is certified. It's almost exclusively in the control of the manufacturer, not the FAA. Would you say that it's highly unusual for the FAA to say internally, we're going to certify this aircraft by September 30th of 2006, or a specific date, driven by internally within the FAA as opposed to the manufacturer?
It is unusual, and in this particular case, sir, it's it gave rise to our characterization of this certification process as a calendar-driven rather than event-driven process. In our handout, which we've made available to all the members, there are copies of the pertinent pages from the business plans of the different FAA entities, and the members can follow the progression from an appropriately high-level statement of an initiative in, at the FAA level, FAA headquarters level, through the aviation safety business plan, which states simply as a target to issue a type certificate for a new model airplane by September 2006. That characterization as a target may be appropriate. However, by the time you get to the bottom of the page, and here we're talking about the Aircraft Certification Service performance plan, there is a specific reference not only to issuing a type certification by September 2006, but a specific statement that Eclipse Aviation will obtain type certification for small jet powered by a Pratt & Whitney 610 engine and using extensive new technology avionics. It appears to us, sir, to indicate a predetermined outcome, and this performance plan would have been drafted a year in advance because it would have been published at the beginning of the fiscal year. It looks like a self-fulfilling prophecy, sir, and when hard-charging, dedicated FAM employees read that, they know what their marching orders are, sir.
So it was clear to you that they knew the certification date and they had to meet it?
Yeah, it does, sir. It's a statement of the priority on which management attached this particular project. It appears to be, I mentioned the term self-fulfilling prophecy. Certainly while dedicated employees, ethical employees, would have raised objections, I'm sure, it becomes a goal and something that people are going to work very, very hard for. And that was clearly the case here.
Two final questions, and then we'll have an opportunity to come back. You mentioned that you have had a chance to review the FAA's Special Certification Review Team's report, and you mentioned some of your views of that report. Can you elaborate for us?
Yes, sir. I mentioned that we had received the SCR report, the Special Certification Report, over the weekend. We are currently reviewing it. We will be following up this testimony with a full-up audit report. We'll be discussing the SCR report in more detail in that later-on product. Let me pick up on what I started my oral statement with about what it is and what it isn't. Our initial take on the SCR report as to what it is. It is a commendable response by FAA, and I do commend the agency for their response to my agency's strong recommendation in July that it undertake a special review of the Eclipse certification. The report is a comprehensive examination by a well-regarded team of aviation safety experts of several narrowly focused, highly technical questions that appeared to be left open by the rush to issue a type certification, and I do emphasize type certification here, to Eclipse, not later than September 30, 2006. What it appears to us, however, that this report is not is, well, we know it's not the last word. We know that this committee will continue its work, as will my office. We also know that this report is not a review at all of the process leading up to the decision to issue the production certificate. It was limited to the type certification only, and that's a good thing because the SCR's objectivity on the production certification point could fairly be questioned. Mr. Ron Wojnar, who headed the final production certificate surge in March, April 2007, also served as a member of the SCR team. Our testimony also makes clear that the PC decision itself is difficult to defend or explain. And for the record, sir, I would like to say that I had a conversation this morning with Mr. Sturgill, the acting administrator of FAA. He indicated to me that in the near future, the agency intends to mount a review effort similar to this SCR, but focused on the production certification side. One final remark, sir. The necessity for this review and its findings confirm for us that a, quote, better late than never, a fill-in-the-blanks later process was employed first to make the decision to issue the type certificate and then to shore it up after FAA staff with inside knowledge of the case lodged complaints with my office and this committee. It's an outstanding report, but it should not be used as an ex post facto justification for the decision to issue the type certificate.
Scovell says the FAA is planning another special certification review of the process leading to the issuance of the production certificate for the Eclipse 500. It's not clear when that will happen, whether the IG's office will scrutinize that review at this level, or whether there will be another hearing before the Aviation Subcommittee. In the meantime, Eclipse Aviation has put together a fact sheet addressing some of the issues raised in the IG's report. You can find it at www.eclipsefacts.com. The testimony in this hearing continued about 5 hours. You can read highlights in the accompanying story found in text form at aero-news.net. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.